Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah aimed at ending 13 months of fighting came into effect earlier this morning, just hours after the US President Joe Biden hailed the historic moment. Thousands of Lebanese civilians have started returning to the south despite the Israeli army warning displaced residents not to return home immediately. Let's get the latest now from Nabi Boulah, who is Middle East Bureau Chief for the LA Times. Nabi, thank you for being with us from Beirut this morning. So these images that we're seeing coming out of Lebanon, we can see the roads there, the highway leading back to South Lebanon, choked with cars filled with families. They've got mattresses and their belongings strapped to their roofs. But they were told and warned by the IDF not to return home immediately. Many of them have ignored that warning. Is that true?
That is indeed true. And I think it's a measure, basically, of how eager people are to go back and just to see what's happening. In fact, right now, I'm even sitting now in the southern suburbs that have just been pounded by Israel over the last 2 months, and especially the last 2 days. And I mean, this area, I can't explain to you the difference. This area was all but deserted. I mean, I was one of the few people who would dare to go in. Now I'm just looking at traffic all around me. People are waving Hezbollah flags. They're celebrating. It really is quite a sight.
But this warning from the IDF, and even this morning they say they have fired on a vehicle with several suspects travelling, they say, in a zone prohibited from movement in the Lebanese territory. So clearly it's still a dangerous situation this morning.
Yes, indeed. I mean, and the part of the incident, I believe, happened near a town called Farkilla, which is very much on the border, right? And the border strip area, I mean, it's not beyond the pale to believe that that area is still unsafe because there are still Israeli troops present. And of course, there's no, official deconfliction mechanism happening right now, as would have happened in the past. So, yeah, I mean, of course, it's dangerous. But at the same time, again, it's a measure of how eager people are to go back. Mm-hmm. I mean, people have just been streaming since 4 a.m., the moment the ceasefire came into effect, the roads have been inundated with people ready to go.
But Nabi, the people who are around you, who are celebrating, who are so happy that this has happened, what are they returning home to?
You know, it's an important question. And the fact is that, you know, I mean, in the suburbs that I'm at right now, there are large tracts of this area that have just been wiped out, absolutely obliterated. In fact, I walked into one block where you see one building that has been completely destroyed and all the buildings around it have been essentially blighted. So, one should not belittle what's going to happen. I think merely getting a sense of the damage, right, is going to take a month. And just lifting the rubble is going to take so much longer. It really is. It's hard to overestimate how long this is going to take, I believe. And the fact of the matter is, yes, it will be difficult, but I think it is doable.
And is there a sense that the ceasefire will hold?
I think at the moment, yes. I mean, that's very much the belief for now. The Lebanese parliament will approve it if it doesn't already. And the fact of the matter is that there is a desire, I think a widespread desire in Lebanon, to have some kind of ceasefire happen because people have been very much exhausted after 13 months of war.
I'm just looking at a statement from Hamas this morning saying that they are concerned with stopping the aggression against our people within northern Israel. The statement has just disappeared from my screen, but essentially they're saying that they're committing to reaching an end to the violence in Gaza as well and expressing disappointment that this effort that we've seen in Lebanon hasn't been made in Gaza. And we've had that sense, haven't we, from the moment this ceasefire deal in Lebanon was mooted, that people in Gaza felt left behind.
Sure. And in fact, the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu said much of the same thing. That's one of the reasons why the ceasefire was happening in Lebanon was so they could focus on Gaza and up the pressure on Hamas. And the fact of the matter is that, that in a sense also proves the logic behind Hezbollah's intervention, right? And that it was trying to reduce pressure on Hamas. And indeed, it seems to have done so for over a year. But at this point, they couldn't last much longer.
Now, Israeli forces are expected to withdraw gradually from southern Lebanon. Is it expected that they will remain in parts of the region, though? What is the plan?
It's still, I think, unclear. We are still sort of in a phased withdrawal phase at this point, so it's unclear what's going to happen later on. But the agreement is not supposed to have any presence of Israeli troops, and no idea of a buffer zone is supposed to be established in South Lebanon. At least, officially, that is what we've heard so far. What will happen after the 60 days, that is a separate matter. But so far, there are no plans for a buffer zone.
Okay, how would you describe the atmosphere around you there in Beirut? I know you said people are jubilant. Is there a sense of chaos there? Is there any fear over the IDF warnings?
No, I mean, at the moment, actually, it's really quite interesting how celebratory people have been. And of course, it should also be said, people are sad too. I mean, you are talking about a horrific toll, whether that's in terms of people or loss of property. I mean, in fact, the matter is that large parts of Beirut have been destroyed. So this is not a moment of celebration, of pure celebration, more accurately. People are merely happy that they are able to come back to their homes, no matter what state they're in.
We know that the state of Qatar had previously attempted to broker a peace deal when it comes to Gaza. Today, they've issued a statement expressing hope that this will lead to a similar agreement to halt the ongoing war in the Gaza Strip. I mean, how high are those hopes now, given that this deal has been struck?
Well, I mean, it's worth noting that the situation is quite different. And I mean, Lebanon, in many ways, or I should say Hezbollah, more accurately, was in many ways in a better position to fight Israel than Hamas is. It's worth noting that Hamas is completely surrounded and isolated and seized, as opposed to Lebanon, which was not. And so, I mean, it is an interesting situation in that regard. I personally have little faith in a ceasefire at this point, unless Hamas is willing to capitulate fully. I mean, that, of course, is a possibility, and they might be desperate enough to do so. But I can't imagine it being any other way.
Mm-hmm. Just going back to what we said about, you know, whether this ceasefire will hold. I know that you said that hopes are high that it will. But we know that there are far-right allies of the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu who remain opposed to this deal. How much weight do you believe they carry?
Well, it's an interesting point, because the fact of the matter is, yes, there have been several statements regarding this idea that the Israeli army should have been continuing on its onslaught against Hezbollah to finish it off, quote unquote. But I think at the same time that there is a sense of realism here. I mean, this deal, you know, as it is right now, will bring back the residents to the north, at least in the long term. So that would seem to achieve one of the goals that Netanyahu had put in place. And I think it would be hard to have people merely accept, it would be hard to accept the constant state of war to continue. I mean, there needs to have been a change. And that's where we are right now. Now, does that mean that the coalition will stand? I think it will, because despite all the talk, there has been, I think, some approval of what's been going on.
Nabi, thank you very much for joining us from Beirut this morning. Nabi Bulo is a Middle East Bureau Chief for the LA Times. And I'm sorry, the line was a little bit difficult to hear at times, but you can understand, as Nabi describes, he is in Beirut with all of those people out in celebratory mood as they begin, at least some of them, to attempt to make their way back home after that ceasefire deal was struck. Coming up next on the programme, we're going to have reaction to last night's TV debate between the three biggest party leaders.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.